In honor of the Raiders trading Khalil Mack to the Bears, this week we traded Kevin to the Raiders for a bag of chips and a copy of Zoolander on DVD.
What is this?
A center for ants!
What?
What a funny movie.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Yep.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Why is our podcast just like old references from like 15 years ago?
Because I live in the past, Stephen. You've seen
it's
today.
True.
You've seen the
it's
world.
True. It's true.
It's fucking back to the future. We have to go back.
Yeah, who the hell wants to live in 2018?
We have to go
back. Keep doing Hoggy Dog. I got a puppy running around in here. Yeah, well, you guys decided to be in here when I closed the door, so now you have to stay here the whole podcast.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, fuck. We did not anticipate this kind of commitment.
Exactly. All right. Anyway, hello, welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of Country Hodgepodge. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
What is going on, everybody?
He's playing with his little fidget.
I created a fidget spinner out of a golf marker and a divot fixer. And I'm also kind of retarded, so I am amused by simple things.
And might have some alcohol in his system.
Just a few.
Just a few alcohols.
Several units worth of alcohols.
Speaking of alcohols, we might have to buy beer up here this time instead of down there so we can have actual alcoholic beer.
All we gotta do is stop before we enter Oklahoma.
Yeah, we could stop
before
in like Joplin,
Missouri
again.
Before we penetrate Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll stop in like Joplin again or something.
Which again, anyone who's listening who lives in Oklahoma, how is it, or first of all, why are you the way that you are? And then second of all, why is it that in 2018 you guys still drink weak-ass beer? Like,
yeah,
what is
fuck?
Going on?
Oh, but I'm definitely going to have to steal some of my dad's staghorn that he brought home from Wisconsin.
Yo.
And we're definitely going to bring some of that down there.
Oh, my God, but I don't want to share any. That shit's delicious.
Oh, no, it's just going to be for us. We'll just be like, sorry, guys, we only brought the two.
Believe us, this shit's amazing, but also you can't have any.
Yeah. I was debating, should I just, like, drive to Wisconsin this weekend, go to Milwaukee or something, buy a couple cases, and then just come back home?
Dude, I've thought about driving from here and doing the hour up to Dubuque and just crossing over and grabbing something, like, right across the river. I've thought about that many times. It's like, well, it's a two-hour round trip, but, yeah, it's not that hard of a drive. You just go straight up and come back down. And
go up there, get some spotted cow and some staghorn. And
yeah, I've thought about it. I really
not
have.
Not a bad idea. Anyway, I forgot to say what we're talking about this week. This week,
are we talking about?
We're going to talk about our Instagram page and how some people are confused all the time. Tyler Childers and his awesome comments that he made at the Americana Music Awards. And we're going to talk about the artists that we're most excited to see at Medicine Stone, which is not that entertaining if you're not going to Medicine Stone, but who cares? Sorry.
Just get jealous.
Yeah, just so a year ago, we did an episode about Medicine Stone, and we previewed the 10 artists we most wanted to see. Well, now the artists at this year are mostly bands we've seen, so we just talk about how we're excited to see them again and all that kind of stuff. So.
And obviously just really pumped for the whole weekend, because last year we didn't really know what to expect. Now we have a pretty good idea, but obviously it's just going to be, I mean, it's a whole new time, so we'll have... We'll find out more things. It'll be a good time for
and
sure.
And I'm gonna bring water shoes this time.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta
need to go to Dick's.
Plan that
some.
Far ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we. Well, now that we know there's a Walmart down there, we could even get that there. But
yeah.
Anyway. So
turns out Oklahoma does have the things that we have as Northerners.
They do have a Walmart in Tahlequah, which I'm going to still say is pronounced Tahlequah.
It is Tahlequah. Everyone else is wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, so on Instagram, we posted a playlist. I only wanted to mention this because I screenshot a playlist called Country Vibes, and I posted it on Instagram saying, with the caption, Cancerous Vibes, because it was the worst playlist I've ever seen, where Old Dominion was on there multiple times. It was Dylan Scott, Kane Brown.
Yeah, Kane Brown was on there multiple times.
Yeah, it was just bad. And then everyone's commenting just like, well, one or two things. Some people unfollowed us, I'm pretty sure, on Instagram, because we went down by like 20 followers today. So yep. I'm guessing people just saw the picture and like, oh, these guys like pop country, fuck these people, and then undid it or unfollowed us. But a lot of people commented like, oh, I thought you guys were promoting this thing, and I got really concerned, but then I saw the caption. I was just like, yes, I guess I should have drawn on it or something to make it obvious that I'm not promoting this. But also the comment, I don't know if you looked at the picture at all, the comment that popped up the most was, yeah, all these guys suck, but Luke Combs is great. I'm like, I just wanted to comment. I didn't want to respond to everyone because I didn't feel like wasting my time doing that. But I guess I doubt these people are listening to the podcast, but we've been talking about Luke Combs since, like, 2015. We have liked him since before Hurricane was even a song.
Yes. Like. And it was also hilarious because the Luke Combs song that was in the picture was the fucking...
She Got the Best of Me.
It was She Got the Best of Me, and it was the version that's on Spotify now, which is the indisputably awful shitty version of it. And so it's like, yeah, if you like Luke Combs, I can respect you because I like a lot of Luke Combs as well, but that version of that song is trash compared to what the actual version is. And so if that's the song that you hear and you're like, I like Luke Combs, it's like, dude, you don't even have any fucking idea.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my coworkers who follows us on Instagram messaged me on like our little company chat thing or whatever. And was just like, I saw your picture and it made me laugh, but Luke Combs is great. I'm like, I had talked to her about that. I was like, yeah, I know. We've seen him in bars when it was empty in the bar. And
well,
like,
that's the thing that's hilarious. So he's coming to Moline, and he's headlining, and he's going to be at the, well,
iWireless.
Used to be the iWireless. Now it's the Tech Slayer.
But
so he's headlining an arena show, and we literally saw him at Joe's bar, what, fucking 2 years ago, and there was
no one
there.
It was either early 2015 or early 2016 we saw him at Joe's Bar.
Yeah. And no one was there, no one knew the music, and
I think Hurricane had just been released to radio, and so I think it had maybe started crawling up the radio, but it definitely wasn't a number one smash hit, because I'm pretty sure that song came out late 2015. I don't know when it started gaining traction, but I do remember multiple times posting that song in 2015, like, guys, you need to listen to this song, it's great. No one gave a shit. And then all of a sudden, like, 2016 rolls around, everyone's singing the song. I'm like, guys, I've been promoting this song for like a year, what the fuck?
Exactly.
But yeah, so I'm just like, but I also didn't want to respond being like, yeah, I know we love Luke Combs, because as we've also said on this podcast recently, we don't really love him that much anymore, because yes, he still has an amazing voice, but like we said on another episode, they ruined it by computerizing it. Like,
Luke Combs is the Bears. He gets your hopes up and then kicks you square in the fucking dick.
Pretty much. And he has a gold digging girlfriend. But
good for him though.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'd do the same. But yeah, it's just, I remember, and then I went back in, because someone was like, what do you feel about that album? And I was just like, so I went back to my review that I did back when we did reviews on our website, and I forgot I gave it like a 7, because I said the EP songs were good, there were a couple good ones from the new one, but mostly it was just a safety album, and it was just, and that's how I still feel about it, like, it's just a fine album. It's not good, it's not bad. I mean, there is bad on it.
Well, that's the thing, I felt back then, and then almost even more so now, that the songs that you would classify as safe, I still thought were just kind of shitty.
Yeah.
And it's also, I think he's one of those guys that I would want to hold to a higher standard, just because he has such a talented voice that in its raw form is tremendous, and so anytime they do anything to fucking put production or effects over the top of it, that just bugs the hell out of me, because the dude can sing like crazy, so why ever put anything on top of it? And so all those songs that he released that are new, yeah, they're catchy, yeah, they're this pop country kind of sound, and it's, you know, bumping along fucking catchy shit. But the dude's voice is tremendous, and he can make great music if he wants to, and so that's what makes it worse when he makes not good music, is like, I know how good you are, man. I've heard you sing. I've heard you sing live. I've heard all of it. It sounds amazing. What in the hell is going on with the people that you are trusting to produce your shit? Why are they telling you, yeah, let's half-ass auto-tune your voice and put production over it? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a bummer. Like, I'm glad he writes his own shit, which is everyone's defense. Like, well, he writes his own music. I'm like, yeah, Darius Rucker does too, and so does Brantley Gilbert, and they've both gone pop. Like, just because you write your own stuff doesn't mean you're not going to jump the shark and put out shitty music. Yeah. But, yeah, I hope, I don't know, maybe his sophomore album will be good, but I'm going to guess it's going to be more of that overproduced bullshit, like what they did to She Got the Best of Me, and, like, yeah. I remember when Hurricane came out, I thought it was a little overproduced, but I just loved it, so I let it go.
Yeah.
But if that's what he's just going to do from now on, it's like, I'm not going to listen to him. It's not, there's no point.
Yeah, it's super disappointing.
Yeah. Anyway, what's not disappointing is Tyler Childers. He won an award of some sort at the
Emerging
Americana.
Artist.
Yeah, Emerging Artist. And he was at the Americana Music Awards, and he just came out and he said this awesome thing, which we've gone... Well, I guess I'll say the quote first. Actually, I got to pull it up. But so he comes up on stage and
there
he says
a quote. It exists.
He said some controversial things. He goes on stage and he says, "My name is Tyler Childers. I'm an Appalachian artist from the foothills of East Kentucky, and I play country music. As a man who identifies as a country music singer, I feel that Americana ain't no part of nothing and is a distraction from the issues that we are facing on a bigger level as country music singers. It kind of feels like purgatory. Thank you." And then he just walked off stage, and he was dressed like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah,
for
which was
reason.
Awesome.
And so it's... I love it because on this podcast, we've gone kind of back and forth of, do we accept that this is what country music is now, and do we just go down the Americana, Ameripolitan thing? Like, if you listen to our episode where we interviewed Dale Watson, which is still unbelievable that that ever happened, we talked about him, and he's just said, I just don't subscribe to that sound anymore because what they call country ain't country, so I'm not going to say I'm a part of that anymore. I'm a part of Ameripolitan. And it's like, I understand that country, the official term, is still owned by the labels, and it just paddles out this bullshit, so you just kind of accept these other terms. But at the same time, Childers is right in the sake of being like, why are we letting them take this term from us? Like, I consider myself a country singer. I sing the music that sounds like what I grew up on, so why are we letting these pop singers take the term from us?
And yeah, I feel like both ends of that argument, I agree with both of them, so it's almost like I'm playing both sides and I'm flip-flopping or whatever, but I agree. I feel like when Dale Watson says, the shit that they're calling country, I don't understand it, I don't identify with it, I'm like, yeah, man, fucking A, because the shit that they're calling country is trash right now.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I still firmly believe that the idea of country should exist in the sense that it has existed and should exist. And that's where when Tyler Childers says something like that, I'm like, fuck yeah, man, you're right. Like, let's take the name back. And so I don't know what I want, because on one hand, I would really love it if we could really go to the extent where we take the term back and all these fucks that are out here making terrible music are no longer anywhere near associated with the term country. Like, I would really love it if that happened.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't think it's realistic to expect it to happen. And so that's where, on the other hand, I'm like, I like what Dale Watson's doing, where he's like, you know what? If you guys want to take this term and fucking ruin it, which is what you're doing, go ahead and ruin it, and we're gonna make our own thing, because we're still making good music over here, and good music still exists. And so look at all this great music. And that's really when it all comes down to it. I feel like what Tyler Childers is basically saying is, like, we've got all these people in this room, like the people he's talking to, in this room at this Americana Music Awards, who all make country music. I mean, some of them don't make actual country music. There's a whole variety.
Yeah, some are the folky rock.
Yeah, there's a whole variety of music, and I fucking love it all. I really do. But I feel like when he's saying, he's basically talking to those that basically make country music but don't have a place in the mainstream world of country. I like what he's saying, where he's just like, fuck them. We make the music we make. Let's call it what it is. And I really like that idea. But at the same time, I really, really appreciate that something like the Americana Music Awards exists, because they are giving recognition to these artists that otherwise wouldn't have it. So that long-winded rant about I don't know what the fuck, I don't even know where I land in the end, because I like the artists I like, and I like that they like the music that they make, and they think that it's authentic, because it is. I just don't know where we go from here.
Yeah, and what I think they need to do is they need to make just, like, a quote-unquote Americana radio station up in, like, the north. Like, obviously down south they have Texas country stations because they have their own charts and they're
you
lucky enough
that
they have
that. Spoiled bastards.
Yeah, up here they need to make a quote-unquote, like, Americana radio station and play Isbell, Childers, Cody Jinks, like, those kind of artists, and watch the people who leave 95.5 or whatever and jump over to that station. It's going to be a lot more people than they think. I mean, yes, obviously, of course, pop country will stay popular because pop music in general, not even pop country, has always been the most popular genre. It is always what tops the charts. It's rarely, like, it's rock sometimes, it's alternative sometimes, but country rarely, if ever, tops the charts. Like, it's probably been since, like, the 80s that something has topped the charts that was a country song. Like, the Billboards, they're not ever going to top it. And the fact that they're trying to peddle this, like, Sam Hunt out to be like, this pop country is what's going to get us out there, it's never going to be a number one song. It's never going to be. But that's what they're trying to do, and that's the reason why they do this, because they think, oh, these drunk sorority chicks are going to listen to our spring break anthems because these guys are hot, which is apparently, you know, a thing to give a shit about.
But apparently they're right, because Luke Bryan is still here.
Yeah, hunting, fishing, fucking every day.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's really hard to land on a side of this because, like you said, I agree with Childers because we should take the term back. It is country music that they're making. What is on the radio isn't country music. But at the same time, I do see, well, if they're not going to accept us as country artists, we might as well leave and start our own club.
Yeah, because what it comes down to for me is I don't really know where we go from here, but I am really glad that there are all these artists out there making tremendous music, and regardless of what the fuck they call it, I know in my heart that it is country, and if the world doesn't want to accept it as country, fuck them, I'm going to listen to it anyway, and I'm going to listen to the shit that's good, and it's out there. You just got to find it.
Yeah, exactly. My computer is skipping a lot, but it still shows that it's recording, so...
What time are you at?
17:27, sorry.
Yeah, I was at 26 and a half, so I think we're good.
Yeah, 34, 35, 36, yeah.
Yeah, mine's slightly behind, but you might have just clicked slightly ahead of when I clicked record, so yeah. I think we should be good.
Yeah, it's just like stopping and then just catching up, but the bumps of me talking are there, so it should be fine. So, yes. Anyway, yeah, it's... I don't know. Because the thing is I'm just happy that they don't give in and say that they're that kind of country and make that kind of country music. Just the fact that they're making the music that it is, I don't care what it's called. Just keep making that good music.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious, too, especially because you have someone like Tyler Childers who you've got Jake Owen covering his songs at a live show, who is a guy who is apparently in this country realm, and he's covering the music of this guy who is fucking great and authentic, and that guy is out here saying, like, no, I make country music. I love all of that because it's like, it's almost like a grassroots movement to reclaim it. And I think Childers is amazing. I think he's getting a lot of recognition. I think there's a lot of people out there who know who he is now, which is really exciting. And I mean, you never know. I mean, the Stapleton thing happened last year, a year ago, a couple of years ago, whatever the hell, when he won all those Grammys and started, you know...
2015 was when Traveler came out.
Yeah, but then he won. Didn't he win the Grammys again last year?
I don't remember.
I don't really. Probably. I don't know. I don't really give a shit. But shit like that keeps happening, where someone who is truly authentic gets embraced by the world, but it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't change the overall narrative. However, I feel like if we keep having these events happen, like a Sturgill and then a Stapleton and now Tyler Childers rocketing up the charts, I think if these things keep happening, there is a chance that the mainstream labels realize that there is a huge market of people who like this kind of music, and maybe they start to pivot back. Because in the bottom line is they all want to make money, and the reason they're making shitty pop country is because they're seeing how much money the pop market is making. So, like, yeah, let's just dip our toes into there and we'll make a shit ton of cash. I'm thinking if they start to realize how many of us are out here who actually want real authentic country music, maybe there's a chance that some sort of a avenue of mainstream country can be reclaimed. I don't fucking know, but I think there's a chance.
And, like, so I don't know if people listening, they saw that tweet that we sent out. Follow us on Twitter. I sent out a tweet that's, I also posted on Instagram, which a bunch of people liked, but the thing about how I went on that tangent when I was on that date the other day, she actually,
if she likes Walker Hayes, I'm not coming to your wedding.
No, she likes rock music. She's big in, like, Godsmack and Stained and stuff.
Oh,
so,
we will get along nicely.
Yeah. But she was talking, like, well, like, why do you kind of talk about these other artists then? And I told her, which is pretty much something we've said on this podcast, like, the reason why we do episodes about Jason Aldean or Rodney Atkins or, like, Trace Atkins, like, these bigger named artists, is because these artists, you can tell, especially the ones who started in the 90s or early 2000s, you can tell that they love real country and that that's what they want to make, because those artists still on their, even though their shitty pop songs go to radio, on their B-sides of their albums, there are still good country songs.
Yeah.
But when you listen to people new, like the guy who looks like he's being abducted by an alien, or Smushface,
Abducted by Aliens, and Tribal Tattoo Man.
Yeah, if you listen to them, like, their albums from start to finish are just shitty. Like, there's no redemption in their albums, and you can tell that those guys are just in it for the money. And Kevin, you are poor connectioning right now.
Yes.
You back?
No.
There we go. Jesus.
Can you
Christ.
Hear me?
Yes.
I could hear you the whole time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I literally said, what about now, like 15 times in a row, and you didn't respond. And I was like, I'm just going to keep saying it. Full disclosure, my internet the last couple days has taken an absolute shit at like 10:30 every night, and like fucking died. But it's not 10:30, so what the hell?
It's daylight saving times for the internet.
It's daylight savings for Mr. Porn Man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's 9:30. He decided to do a 9:30 jack session. I said 10:30.
Gonna bump it up an hour.
But as I was saying before it cut out, I'm gonna just try and see if I can transition that well.
Transition
probably won't. So artists like Smushface, Alien, and the other one, they just put out shitty pop music because they don't have to, because they've entered into country, the quote-unquote country scene, when that was already the norm. So they didn't have to start off being like, I cover Hank Jr. and George Jones and Waylon Jennings at bars, because they walk in going, I cover Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw, and Luke Bryan at bars. Like, so that's where they started. Their albums will never have a hidden gem on it, because they don't have to have a hidden gem, because they grew up on shitty music and joined the scene in shitty music. Whereas Luke Bryan, when he joined the scene, the biggest artists on radio were still George Strait and Alan Jackson. Like, so he was competing with them. And so that's why his music had a steel guitar and a fiddle when his first few albums came out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just, fuck those people.
Fuck them all.
So shall we move into Medicine Stone?
Let's do it.
This year. All right. So first we're going to talk about the 10 artists who we have seen, who we're very excited to see again. There's not going to be any music in this episode. Sorry. I don't feel like editing it because we're recording super late.
Just go out there and listen to them on the internets.
And I just kind of went, this is in no particular order. I just went down the lineup and just wrote down names. So who we have seen, who we're definitely excited to see, is first off is obviously Turnpike Troubadours.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because last year when we saw them, it was the first time that I had seen them. I'm pretty sure it was the first time you had seen them as well, right?
Yeah.
And so
I was supposed to see them once before, but I was sick and I couldn't go.
Yeah, and they're a band where I've always obviously loved them, and I even going into last year's Medicine Stone, I was super excited to see them. But yeah, in the last year, I have definitely become even more of a Turnpike fan.
Oh yeah,
and so 100%. And so like when we saw them at the Smokeout, like I was so pumped, and so even and then now getting to see them in like essentially the perfect venue to see them, where they have an elongated set on a main stage, like it's the perfect scenario for seeing them. So that's why I'm even more excited than I was even last year the first time that we saw them.
Yeah, exactly. And so yeah, and it's also nice to be down in Oklahoma where half the band is from, and everyone in the like Turnpike is the gooch of down there, where everyone knows them, everyone is excited to see them. They're the ones who I remember just last year asking everyone, who are you most excited to see? Every single person was saying Turnpike Troubadours. There wasn't a single person who wasn't saying Turnpike Troubadours. I mean, some people are obviously also saying other bands they want to see, but Turnpike was the one that everyone was excited for.
I refuse to acknowledge the comparison to Gooch, regardless of how accurate in context it made sense.
I know. I don't obviously mean to compare their skills, because it is like comparing Walter Payton to a little kid with no legs. But
yeah.
But yeah. So
but you hit it. You hit it right on the head. The environment down there, because again, like I said, when we saw them at the Smokeout, it was obviously very exciting for us to get to see them again because they're amazing. But there's nothing like an entire, like, amphitheater. I guess it's not really an amphitheater down in Medicine Stone, but still, like, an entire festival crowd.
Yeah.
All fucking 100% in on every song that's being played.
Knowing the words to every single song that was playing. Like, usually when I'm at concerts, I know as many words as everyone else there, but there I was just lost. I was like, I don't know this one. What is this one? Everyone else is dancing and singing every word to it. I'm like, oh, okay, this is a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, even when they were up here at Windy City Smokeout just earlier this summer, like 40% of the crowd still knew their songs. So I didn't expect them to be that huge even up here. But
yeah,
so down there, it's even fucking bigger.
Exactly. Awesome. And up here, I was surprised that there was as much fan interaction as there was. Regardless of how much fan interaction was even possible up here, it's going to be so much more so down there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm hoping maybe I can go see him again at House of Blues in November if it's not sold out, which it probably will sell out because it's them and Charlie Crockett, and that's an amazing lineup. Moving on to the next artist we're super excited for is who we've seen is Jason Boland and the Stragglers. We've seen them twice now, right? We saw them in Iowa City and down there. So is that the only times that's the only times I've seen them. I'm guessing it's the same for you.
For some reason, I feel like I've seen them in Iowa City more than once. But now I don't think that's right. I think it's only the one time. But why do I feel like...
I think you're high on pots.
I am hammer drunk in the front row of Skynyrd, where Jesus is singing lead wearing a tuxedo t-shirt.
I'm in the front row hammer drunk.
I'm in the front row hammer drunk. I think I'm just getting confused because of all the times I've been to Iowa City for random artists. But yeah, no. Yeah. If anyone's ever listened to this podcast, you know that I'm a huge Jason Boland fan.
Jason Boland.
I absolutely love them. I love every album. I love so many songs. I listen to them so often. And so it's exactly what you said. I know I've seen them before, but they're just great. And being down there where everyone's going to be into it. I remember last year, everybody was super into it. And especially with Medicine Stone, people get brought on stage and they play together because it's really more than even like a music festival. It's just like people hanging out. Even like the artists are the same way.
Like I said, I haven't said this on the podcast, but I did say to you, or I have said on the podcast that we got media passes down there because we're officially official now.
We're so
Yeah, which makes me super excited. But when the PR person called me to let me know that, you know, we're on the list and all that kind of stuff, she was like, well, it's not like a festival where you can just, like, go backstage and bother everyone. It's not like a huge festival like that. It's pretty much just a family gathering where everyone there is getting together to see each other because, obviously, they're always all touring at separate times and all this. So Medicine Stone for the artists is pretty much just a giant reunion. And
which
they all just get together
so
and
cool.
sing together.
Like, that sounds like the perfect music festival to go to. Like, why would it?
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And it's just like at Tailgates and Tall Boys or whatever, that fucking Peoria festival, where Cody Johnson, Ward Davis, Whitey Morgan, Coulter Wall,
Cody,
Paul Coffin, they were all there. What'd I say?
Johnson.
Cody, yeah, Jinx, sorry. I got Johnson on the mind.
What? He always does.
But how they're all there, and then he had that obviously now infamous quote of "fuck Nashville, we'll start our own club."
Damn right,
because those guys love playing together, and they just like being in that little club, and they love playing together, and that's the coolest thing. Is like we've said, like you're never gonna get a new Highwaymen of, God forbid, if they ever tried doing it, Highwaymen of like Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean, like Brantley Gilbert and shit, like that'd be cancerous. But those guys aren't together playing all the time, whereas these guys love playing together all the time,
and. Unlike the modern fuckheads that are on the radio, all the people that go to Medicine Stone are all tremendous musicians, so they can just go on stage and play together, and it's actually playing together. They don't have to be like, okay, bro, your guy's iPod has to sync with my bro's iPod so that we can jerk it at the same beat.
Yeah, well, it's like last year when Jamie Lynn Wilson was playing the side stage during the middle of the day. She just goes like, oh, the steel guitar player. That's the steel guitar player from Turnpike Troubadours. Like,
and
he was just on stage playing with her.
We're just like,
it was
Hank!
So awesome.
Yeah.
It was so great. It was, it was amazing. So I love that feeling about the whole.
Medicine Stone, last year when we did the preview podcast, we were kind of talking about how excited we were, and we had no idea what to expect.
We'd only seen.
And
we hadn't seen
a lot of people, but this year going down there, I'm just thinking about all of the, like, it's just wall-to-wall great artists, which is a fucking rarity for a music festival, at least for us northerners. You people down south might have shit every weekend that's great, but you guys can fuck off. Also, I think I'm dropping F-bombs at an alarming rate again, so I'm not sorry, but sorry.
This is the Eric Church episode all over again.
But I'm just so excited for, because I'm just thinking of all the different artists that we saw down there that they just put on a great show. People come on stage, they just play together, and it just feels good. I don't know what to say other than it just feels good.
Yeah, for sure. So next up is the third headliner of the weekend, who we've also seen a few times, is Randy Rogers Band. We saw them last year there. We saw them when they opened for Gary Allen, which was
a hell of a show.
Randy Rogers and William Clark Green.
We danced
with that super hot girl who hooked up with the William Clark Green's guitarist or whatever.
Yeah, I realized I had no chance when she started talking to William Clark Green's guitarist. I'm like, well, all right.
Yeah. All right, never mind then. I'm
not even upset.
But yeah, so Randy Rogers, they're obviously awesome. I remember hearing the song, it had to have been like 2009 or something when the album came out. I heard Interstate, and I fell in love with that song. I still, to this day, love that song so much.
Yeah.
And just, I love seeing Randy Rogers play his voice. He always sounds like he's losing his voice, but it works for him.
Yeah, and I feel like he's really good at like getting the crowd interaction, because that's what I remember with every time we've seen Randy Rogers is, not to make it sound like he doesn't sing because he just says, like, it puts the mic out. But, like, I feel like he gets the crowd into it on every song.
The only one who did that was Willie Nelson. He couldn't sing.
Well,
so just
Willie Nelson literally could not sing. He was he was actually dying.
He was trying to stay alive the entire time.
I love Willie Nelson. He is a legend. But, yeah, he was having a rough time.
We got to see Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard perform Poncho and Lefty live. So that's...
Yeah.
The greatest.
So
thing
we're
ever.
Better than everyone. So ha. Huh.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Randy Rogers is fantastic. They're obviously
I'm super
else,
pumped.
Straight country.
Yeah, just super pumped to see him.
Yeah. Next is, we saw him for the first time last year, is Red Shahan, who last year I like when his CD Men and Coyotes came out. Like, I loved it. It was super bluesy and super good, but it wasn't one I listened to too often. But seeing him live, it like blew me away of how good he was.
Yeah.
And then his new album came out, Culberson County, which that was more kind of a rock album. It had obviously still the blues to it, but it was very rockish, and it's just and that album is fantastic. So I can't wait to hear those.
Yeah,
songs.
I'm really excited for him because of the fact that Culberson County is one of my favorites of the year.
Yeah,
for sure. It was, you know, when we did that podcast before of top of the year, but even at this point in the year, it's still probably in my top 10 right now. So I'm really excited to see him play those songs. And also, like you said, seeing him last year, there was, you know, I knew him and there was a lot of songs that I knew and I liked, but I don't think I gave him going into it the amount of attention that I think this guy, I'm going to watch the whole set and I'm all in.
Yeah. Which is another one, kind of transitioning to the next one. I'm going to skip over one and then go back to it. Is it just like Charlie Crockett?
Yes.
Who? Charlie Crockett, when I've listened to his music a bunch, I was like, this guy's awesome. He's just kind of very old school sounding. But I didn't think too much of him going into Windy City Smokeout, and he blew us out of the water.
It was so good. Yeah, and I would say, I mean, not to try to downplay your affection towards Charlie Crockett, but I have been really on his music, and I was really excited for Windy City Smokeout because there were so many songs by him that I really loved. I fucking listened to a lot of his music a lot.
Yeah,
but
I still,
like you said, was absolutely blown out of the water by how great he was live, because even as much as I loved his recorded stuff, I had no idea how great he was going to be live. And so, exactly like you're saying, leading into going down to Medicine Stone this year, that show, I mean, that's one of the top three shows I'm excited for this upcoming Medicine Stone, purely because of how great he was live, and to get to see him like do that.
He's the midnight show this year.
Oh, fucker. But I'm still excited, still gonna see it because he's amazing.
I think it's the Friday night midnight show, so it's
I'll still have a little bit left in the tank at that point.
Yeah, because I believe, well, Thursday's one that we're gonna talk about later, but moving on to Cody Canada and the Departed. I didn't listen to them too much. I had listened to Cross Canadian Ragweed, but I hadn't listened to Cody Canada's stuff too much before going down there last year. So him live was awesome. I did not expect that out of hit. Like, I had heard, obviously, like Alabama by CCR. I'd heard, CCR does Alabama, right? Not Cody Canada.
Yes,
and,
correct.
I
thought for a second you were confusing yourself with Creedence Clearwater Revival, and I was like, nope, you got it.
Down on the corner!
Well, that's the thing. When you said CCR, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, actually, that just reminds me, I saw this thing on the internet where it's just like, you know, you're from a different time when CCR to you means Cross Canadian Ragweed, not Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah. But Cody Canada last year, they played a bunch of Ragweed songs, and it was amazing. And
they had to cut their set short.
Yeah. Well, they just jammed too long, and they're like, yeah, we don't have enough time to play all the songs we wanted to, but we're still going to fill the time because we're just jamming
like,
to it.
They're like, apparently we played too long, so this is our last one.
Yeah. I'm super pumped for them because their album that came out this year, I really liked. Is it just called Three? Is that what
Thrief.
It's called? Yeah. I love that album. I thought
combination
it was
tremendous. Combination of three and five.
Texas with a dollar sign. I'm super pumped for them because they're going to play Ragweed songs, I would guess, and all their new stuff I like a lot. I like a lot of the old stuff too, but the new album, really, really good.
Are they also Boys from Oklahoma, Roll Them Joints All Wrong or whatever? Yeah.
Boys from Oklahoma, Roll Them Joints All Wrong. Way too skinny, way too long.
Yeah, it's great. Can't wait.
Too damn skinny and way too long. That's the words.
Yeah. Next is our best friend of all time, Jamie Lynn Wilson.
Jamie Lynn, if you're listening, we're willing this into existence that we are best friends with you.
We're best friends.
Your music's amazing. We love to see you live, and we're really excited to see you again.
Yeah, so she was one who we talked about, I think, like the most last year of how excited we were to see her. And then she did not disappoint. She was fantastic live.
She was arguably the best set of the entire weekend last year.
Yeah,
I thought between the stage presence, the songs just being tremendous, playing with the Turnpike steel guitarist and just having just a great set.
And then jumping on stage with Turnpike later, which he also did at Windy City Smokeout, which
And that's what amazing. I'm also excited about this year is that Jamie Lynn does not just mean Jamie Lynn's set, it means every time she pops up on stage, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's fantastic and can never say too much good things about Jamie Lynn Wilson.
Seriously.
Her new album comes out October. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, well, and I feel like she'll probably play some of the new ones, which some of the new ones have come out already.
Which she did in Chicago. She played a few of them.
So super excited for that.
And she's no longer Prego.
Didn't slow her down in Chicago at all, though.
Oh, no, not at all. She's, hell of a show. Next up is Flatland Cavalry, who they were one who I had heard some songs by them, and I was obviously super excited to see them. But then again, they sound just as good live, if not better, as they are recorded, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, I would say they're another band that's I knew them going into last year, and I was excited about it, but I just know them that much more now, and I'm that much more excited because I just kind of know. I know that much more songs that I'm going to be able to get into, so I'm super, super pumped about that.
And they have a new song out, which actually I haven't listened to yet, and I need to.
Me neither. Everyone who's listening right now, especially Aaron's going to be like, you haven't listened to Honeywine yet, you fucks? And I'll be like, yeah, haven't. Sorry, bro. Please tweet at me angrily as soon as you hear this.
Oh, you know he will. Next up is Mike McClure. He's the Oklahoma legend down there.
My man.
I think they're doing that three-person acoustic set again.
They are, which was nuts. We got to get there super early, though, so we can actually get in there. Just got a shit ton of sunburn last year because we couldn't fit under the deal.
Last time I checked, it's supposed to be as hot as it was last year this year. So
I saw one of the days is supposed to be high 89, but I'm pretty sure last year the highs were in the fucking upper 90s.
Oh, great. Right now it says it's supposed to storm Friday and Saturday. Great.
Honestly, there's a part of me that feels like that's better than blistering heat.
I guess as long as it's not canceling all the shows.
That's true. Don't want any of that.
Yeah. But yeah, Mike McClure, I think that's all he does, though. I don't think he has his own set this year. He's just doing the three-person acoustic.
I don't remember. I thought there might have been his own set, but then again, I have no fucking clue, and I'm just talking up my ass. As I mostly do on this podcast, for anyone who has listened before, I am full of shit all the time.
Yeah. Yes, you are. Next up is... finally, for the bands that we have seen before and we're excited for again, is Caitlin Butts. She was one. I had only heard like one or two of her songs. I didn't know her that well at all, but she was awesome. And actually, our buddy Cody, who's also going down there, was talking about how they actually met her before she was like famous down there, and they were just jamming around a fire, and she did her cover of God's Gonna Cut You Down, and apparently it was fantastic, and then obviously she recorded it, so it is.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh shit, this girl's for real. Like there's like down in Medicine Stone there's always people playing guitar and hanging out and jamming or whatever. But when someone like that gets on the guitar and just starts singing, I could imagine everyone sitting there like, oh fuck, this person is for real.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so she's awesome, and her voice is amazing.
Oh, she's really good. I'm really pumped, because, again, it's one of those where I knew a few songs going down there, and I knew that she was good, but I didn't know enough, and now I know way more songs, and so I feel like I'll be able to go into it with that much more anticipation and excitement, just because I know that much more.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on to one artist who I have seen and Kevin has not seen is Wade Bowen.
Racism. I mean, what?
Yes.
Wade Bowen, so I will say, as a person who hasn't seen Wade Bowen, I love a whole lot of his music. I mean, we did the Wade Bowen episode and his new album came out. I thought it was tremendous. A lot of his older shit I know and I like a whole lot. And I'm just really pumped to see him live because I think he's really damn good. And I don't really think he has any bad songs. So it really doesn't matter what the hell his set list is. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I saw him, it was either right before or right after I graduated college. And so I was still super uber fat Steve. And I was double fisting Jack and Cokes the whole time. And I remember just loving the show because that was also when we snuck up to the VIP box because there was no one up there.
Yeah, and you introduced a false reality into my brain that when you go to Joe's, you can go up there at any given moment if the show's not sold out, which is a lie.
Yeah. Well, it was the case that show. but yeah, it was fantastic. And then I met him after and I was super drunk and I don't really remember it.
Just go up to him at Medicine Stone and be like, remember that one time I was super hammered and I said, hey?
Yeah.
I was fatter, though. Look at my face and imagine fatter.
I'll show him the really blurry photo. And I'll take a photo with him and I'll do a comparison. But yeah,
Wade Bowen is
fantastic. He's one of my favorite artists. Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
He's one of those guys that I know I mentioned during the Jason Eadie podcast of... You know, I've been able to see a whole lot of artists thus far, so there's not that many artists left that I haven't seen that are, like, really high on my list of really excited to see. I said at the time Jason Eadie's probably number one. I think he still is number one in terms of artists I haven't seen, but I'm excited to eventually. Wade Bowen's still, like, fucking top three, though, so this is going to be really awesome to see him. And, I mean, I know he's going to be great, so I'm not even anticipating anything otherwise.
Yeah, super pumped. So then we got three more of artists that we haven't seen who are super pumped. First up is Mr. Co Wetzel, who we did a few weeks ago. Probably going to be hammered drunk the whole weekend.
Yeah. I know that I'm probably more excited than you are just because of the fact that I listened to him way
you're definitely
more.
Way bigger fan. Of, I mean, I love Co Wetzel, but you're definitely way bigger fan.
I love his shit. I know that there's people who don't. And if you're one of those people and you're listening right now, I don't care.
Well, obviously you're wrong because it's already one of our most listened to episodes.
Aha! So podcast. If you're listening and you do like him, I'm right.
I'm pretty sure it's already a top five listened to episode of our podcast.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. All y'all co-fans, thank you. But yeah, no, I love Co Wetzel. I really do. I listen to him kind of a lot. I mean, fuck, I listen to him quite often. He didn't make my top 10 or my top 5 or whatever the fuck Spotify tells you at the end of the year last year, but if I had to guess, like they give you your top 5, I would have to guess he was in that fucking 6 to 10 range. Cause
well, Luke Combs ain't gonna be on it anymore.
Oh, no chance. R.I.P. in peace to that.
Yeah. But yeah, Co Wetzel is fantastic. Show pretzel. Next up is Reckless Kelly. They're actually not one I listen to a lot, but I do know a handful of their songs. And obviously, like...
Wicked Twisted Road is the...
Yeah, Wicked Twisted Road is
Wicked Twisted Road's tremendous. I just dig their sound in general. Like, they just sound great. I realize I just said the sound, and then I followed up with they sound great. So I'm doing great English things right now. But honestly,
you're an English boy.
They're one of those bands that I feel like will put on a good show based on the songs that I've heard. I've never seen them live, so I'm just anticipating. But yeah, I'm excited to see what they put down.
Yeah. Then finally, this is the Thursday night midnight show, I believe, is Mickey and the Motor Cars. As long as they play Once in a Lifetime Girl, I'm happy.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I love a lot of their music. I've listened to them since probably 08, 09 or something. I've been listening to them for a long time. Not like more than other artists, but I've had songs by them saved or downloaded for a long time.
I would say I remember very far back, like when we were in college, them being an artist that popped up when we would just be in the car together and you'd have your phone playing. So I've known
back
about
when I had
them.
iTunes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Whatever the fuck was playing. And yeah, they're a group that I know that I'm later on the wagon in terms of getting in on them. But they're great. I think my favorite song by them is Long Enough to Leave, and I love the version that I listen
fantastic
to on Spotify.
Song.
He starts it off with this. I wrote this with my good friend Randy Rogers. So if Randy Rogers goes on stage and sings it with him, I will probably shit my pants.
That'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, because that's all I've been thinking about after they got announced. I'm like, well, he does start the song off with I wrote this with my good friend Randy Rogers. So
yeah,
come on,
that'd be pretty sweet. So yeah, those are the artists we're super excited. The ones I'm super bummed that aren't there this year are Sonny Sweeney and Shane Smith and the Saints.
Yeah,
that
really yeah. Sonny Sweeney is amazing, but Shane Smith was the biggest in terms of being sad that they're not there this year, because their set last year was so damn good.
Oh,
like
it was amazing.
I love
Sang the Mountain.
Oh my god, I loved their music going into it, so I knew I was gonna like it, and I was really excited. But they were just, I mean, similar to kind of like Charlie Crockett, where when you see them live, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, they harmonize on the spot tremendously. Yeah.
So
and they're good. All great players. It was so good. So, yeah, I'm really sad that they're not going to be there, but
yeah,
I'm glad that we did see them.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for the Medicine Stone Arts. Obviously, we're excited to see everyone who's there who we're going to get a chance to see. I don't think we're going to be able to make it up to the Red Dirt stage unless there's someone earlier in the day. Yeah. Unless there's someone earlier in the day that we want to go up and wander up and see. But the artists who we are going to see, so excited.
Also, if anyone's listening to this and you follow us and you're going to be at Medicine Stone, shoot us all the tweets and the Facebooks and the Instagrams. We'd love to say hey and let's fucking
drink.
Have a great time. Yeah,
drink.
Drink and listen.
Yeah,
and drink.
And then next week, since obviously we're going to be at Medicine Stone, we're not going to have an episode, so we're going to introduce you guys to the Lost Pilot episode.
The very first Lost episode.
An episode that we recorded, I think, almost even a year before our first episode did, when we were just tickling our fancies of deciding, maybe we'll do a podcast.
One of those
one
things where Steve was like, what if we did a podcast? And I was like, I don't know, man. And then some shit got recorded, so...
Yeah.
Get excited for that, or don't.
Yeah, or don't. It's not going to be very good. But...
Well, just think about it this way. You heard our first episode. You saw how bad it was.
Dude, actually, so if you haven't been paying attention, or I haven't posted anything on social about it yet, I've uploaded the first four episodes of our podcast to YouTube, because I'm going to start putting all the episodes up on YouTube. And just while uploading them, I've had obviously listened to them to kind of proof... like listen to them. They suck. There's people who have messaged us saying like they've gone back and binged all the episodes. If you started from number one, I'm sorry, it's not good.
I want to like if you've listened to all of these, I want to shake your hand and be like, why?
Yeah, like I think
I appreciate
that,
the hell
our,
of it. I really do, but
not
I
that
know
our podcast
for a fact
is,
that it sucked.
Not that our podcast is good now, but it was not good then.
There's certainly a learning curve, I will say that.
Our podcast definitely sounds a little more professional than it did. Still not professional, but sounds a little more professional.
Yeah.
Did I write down last week's albums? What day are we on?
I know one for sure.
Nope, I did not write them down.
Stryker Brothers came out. I don't know if we're supposed to break the fourth wall on them or not.
What?
Stryker Brothers? You haven't checked that out?
No, I did. Yeah. Because that was the one we got messaged about.
Yeah, I'm even further behind. But yeah, I don't know if we're supposed to break the fourth wall about who they actually are, but I think it's not that hard to figure out once you listen to them. It's fucking Randy Rogers and Robert Earl Keane.
I don't know if I've... I don't think... Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's very apparent when you listen to them, but I don't know if we're supposed to be like, that's who it is.
Well, we broke the fourth wall with Wheeler, so it's whatever.
Yeah, it's
So the albums that came out last week are... First up is Lucas Nelson, The Promise of the Reels, Forget... that's not what the album's called.
It's
that's
called the first song, Forget About Georgia EP.
Oh, it is that? That is what it's called?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm not fully retarded. Yeah, yes, I am. But yeah, Forget About Georgia, fantastic EP.
I love it. I mean,
Lucas Nelson's great.
I've been all about the Lucas Nelson for a while. But yeah, because he's one of those dudes, and if you don't like jam bands or elongated guitar work and all that shit, you're not going to like it. But I'm a huge fan of, like, guys like him, and like, so the Forget About Georgia song is like 9 minutes long, and there's like the 5 minutes of song, and then there's just this elongated outro of guitars and whatnot, and it just sounds great, and I love it. And he's got several songs that are kind of like that, where he has just extended guitar work, and I just think it's tremendous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's really good at that guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Next up is Rustin Kelly's Dying Star.
Oh, love
it. I mean, Rustin Kelly's good. I'm definitely not denying that. I'm just not huge on him, but it is a good album. I'm not saying that. It's just not one I'm going to be going back and listening to.
You can continue to be wrong, and that is okay.
My favorite, actually, of the week was New Reveille's The Keep. They're a fantastic band. I just listened to that album. It's so
I haven't good. Gotten through it all yet because I get distracted easily because I'm a stupid human being. Yeah. But I did very much enjoy the bits that I have heard so far.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Next is an EP from Sister Hazel. You heard that right. Called Wind. They're just each EP is an element, and so they've had the water one, and now there's wind.
Yeah, they just keep jamming out the. I think it's
yeah. better than Wind. I think it's a better EP. I liked the first one, but I think this one is better.
They're another band where it's like I don't ever feel like their music is like bad. It's just when it's not hitting, it's kind of like, eh, it's all right, you know.
Yeah.
So
they're talented.
Exactly.
Next is I believe this dude's Australian. James Van Cooper's Coming Home. It's a fantastic traditional sounding album. I feel like them Australians are pretty good at that country music because we've talked about Australian artists on here plenty of times.
Yeah, they figured it out. I think it's because the elements are just play authentic music and write songs that mean something. But yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah, apparently that's what you have to do to make good music.
Weird. Isn't that weird?
Next is My One and Only The Past Year. They're a fantastic duo. It's just a four-song EP or five-song EP, but it's really good. Two people playing musics.
Two people, four songs.
Next is William Elliott Whitmore's Killanova. Fantastic. I don't have too much to say about that one. And then finally is the Stryker Brothers Burn Band.
I dug it. I thought it was really good. It was one of those things, though, that as soon as I listened to it, I was just like, if this is the reason why the Randy Rogers Band CD is being pushed back, I am not okay with it. However, I do like it, and I like this music, and I'm glad that it exists. But if he took time away from the actual Randy Rogers Band album, and that's why it's not going to come out till 2019, no.
Yeah. I don't know, probably. What else have you been listening to? What are you watching? What are you doing? What's happening?
So, like I said in the last podcast, Western Centuries is fucking amazing, and yep. I cannot get enough of them. But then also, like I said earlier on the podcast, been all about the Lucas Nelson lately. EP is tremendous, and then his previous album, which I don't know if it has a title other than just Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real, but... The one that's got Sent Me Down on a Cloud on it, fucking just great.
Yeah. I've been binging Turnpike recently because I'm getting
Because Turnpike is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm getting a little excited.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can find us at countryhodgepodge.com. I'll update it again one day. We'll see. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Country Hodgepodge. Spotify, you can find the Hodge Podcast Picks, where every week I upload the songs we talk about. This week we didn't talk about any songs, so nothing's getting uploaded. But I'll probably upload songs from the albums that came out. You can find Kevin's Picks of the Week on a link through the site, or if you search the username Donkey Factory, one word. It's just every week Kevin uploads 10 songs you should listen to, and they're usually pretty good. Every Friday we tweet out Friday's new music, the best songs of the week that released and that you should be listening to, because there's already been like 200 albums this year and they're all good. So
it has been tremendous. It has been a hell of a year. We said it was going to be a hell of a year before the year started. It has not disappointed.
Yeah. In the words of Porky McClicklock, it's been a hell of a year. you can buy one of our dumb shirts on a link through the site, or if you go to TeePublic, search Country Hodgepodge, you'll find them. Got a God Bless American Aquarium, Sam Hunt Sucks, Walker A. Blows, etc., etc. You can find me on Instagram at @CHP_Clifftron, Kevin on Twitter and Instagram at @CHP_Charge. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It'll help us get found. People have been reviewing and saying
help
mean
us get
things
found.
About
we
us.
We don't know where we are, and we need to be found.
Yeah, help. I've fallen and I can't get up.
All senior citizens should have Life Alert.
Exactly. This week's episode is brought to you by Life Alert. No, it's not. Don't give them money because they did not advertise with us. Anyway, next week. Well, next week's the Lost Pilot episode where we talk about Sam Hunt.
We actually finally talk about Sam Hunt. We've been teasing it this whole time.
Yeah, we just scrapped it after doing the pilot because we're like, you know what? We're burnt out on him. We just talked about how much we love him, so we're going to have to wait a while before we talk about him again. So. So that's it for this week. Until next week, I am Steve Hodge, as always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.